Okay, my friends, chapter 3. Menachem, can you get me a left of safer over there, please? The front table. Which happens to be the fourth reading. That works. For the V. Today we're going to learn about born again, Torah style. V'ela teldeis, thank you very much. V'ela teldeis, Aharon u'Moshe. These are the generations of Aharon and of Moshe. B'yom diber Hashem es Moshe b'har Sinai. On the day that God spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai. A very strange verse for a number of reasons. We're going to talk about the generations of children of Aaron and Moshe. But in fact, we're going to see in a moment that we only mention the children of Aaron. And children of Moshe not mentioned at all. Number one. Number two, what does it mean these are the children of Moshe, of Aaron and Moshe, b'yom diber, on the day that he spoke? What does that mean? Before he spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai, there was no children? They had descendants before, and they had children after. So what does that have to do with the day that God spoke to Moshe? These are two basic questions which we're going to try to answer today in a satisfactory fashion. So let us begin a little investigation with Rashi. The first Rashi in chapter 3, the verse, of course, opens by introducing us to the children of both Aaron and Moses. However, Rashi notes, Ve'enoi mazkir elo b'nei Aharon b'vad. In a moment you'll see, we're only going to talk about the children of Aaron. As the second verse goes, take a look inside. What is the second verse? Ve'ela shmoi b'nei Aharon. The Torah begins by telling us, these are the children of Aaron's sons. Habachur, the eldest, was Nadav. Then came Avihu, who was Elazar, and Isamar. And the Torah emphasizes in verse 3 a third time, Ela shmoi b'nei Aharon. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, HaKoyanim. HaMeshuchim, the Kohanim who were inaugurated, who were anointed, Asher Mile Yodom L'chahim, whose hands were filled, so to speak, who were given, fully empowered, that they should serve as the Kohanim. So verse 1 tells us we're going to meet the children of Aaron and Moshe. And yet, verse 4 says, these are the names of Aaron's children. Verse 2. And verse 3 says, again, it introduces the same thing, Elishmeis b'nei Aharon. So in the Pasuk Beis, in verse 2, they're introduced by name. In Pasuk Gimel, in verse 3, they're introduced by virtue, or by career, if you will, or calling. And then the Torah goes on to tell us, in verse 4, Vayomas Nadav Aviu lefnei Hashem. Nadav and Aviu die before God. And we'll see what that means in a moment. V'hakrivu meish zara, when they brought forth a stranger, alien fire, lefnei Hashem b'midas Sinai. Uvanim le'ha'ilahem. Now we're on to the next generation. And they didn't have any children. Vayichayin elazav yisamar apnei Aharon Avim. And elazav and yisamar served as Kohanim, yet in the lifetime of Aaron. And that, my dear friends, is the end of this little parsha. You know, the Torah cries a little parshiot. The word parsha euphemistically refers to sedra. Refers to one of the portions of the Torah, like Bereishis, Noach, Lech Lecha. But that's, if you want to get technical, that's actually called the sedra. That's called an order from the word seder. A parsha is more merely means a paragraph in Hebrew. And in the Torah scroll, when you look at it, there isn't any punctuation, and there isn't any periods, no exclamation marks, and no colons for the most part. But what there is spaces. That's how the Torah is divided up in spaces. So each parsha, each paragraph has a space by itself, and then there's parsha psucha and parsha stuma. More space or less space. And this is a parsha psucha, actually. There's more space, because we know that by the beginning of Gimel, this is, if you take a look at the end of Pasuk Lamed Dalet, you'll see a pei. Pei means psucha, that is a larger space here in the Sefer Torah. And the parsha ends at the end of verse 4, where it says, again, pei, a little pei at the end. So this is the whole parsha, the whole paragraph. An entire chunk, an entire paragraph of Torah that starts off with the words, these are the children of Aaron and Moshe. And then we have three subsequent verses, and they focus exclusively on the children of Aaron and the children of Nadav and Avihu who never came, who were never born. There's nothing mentioned of Moshe's children. Absolutely nothing whatsoever. So this is obviously a huge question. This doesn't require careful forensic analysis to come up with this issue. This is like, it's open, it's over, staring in the face. Torah comes along and says, these are the generations, the children of Aaron and Moshe. In fact, there's nothing discussed about Moshe's children whatsoever. The focus is entirely on the children of Aaron. So Rashi says like this, V'nikru told us Moshe, it's true, we only talk about Aaron's children here. But you should know that they are called the children of Moshe. Why? Lafi shelimdan Torah. Because Moshe Rabbeinu taught them Torah. And Rashi now continues. And he says, Melamed, this teaches you. Shekol ha-melamed is ben chavere teira. That anybody who teaches Torah to another Yid, a Yid that he did not give birth to, somebody else, his companion gave birth to that person. But Milo Alav Akasov, the scripture considers it ki ilu yilodai, as if he would have given birth to him. How do we know this? Because it says Ilu told us, Aaron u'Moshe. These are the children of Aaron and Moshe. The Torah doesn't say anything which is untrue. Chas v'shalom. This is the Torah semes. It's not the case. I mean, like, so clearly then, if it says that, it is the case. If you want to know if it's true, if it says in the Torah, it's definitely true. So if the Torah made a point of saying, told us, Aaron u'Moshe, the Torah was trying to teach us something. Sometimes the Torah teaches us a lesson by telling us it's going to teach us a lesson. And sometimes the lesson is by osmosis, automatically. By framing the issue with this terminology, by using this verbiage, obviously the message is being communicated to us. And since the Torah selected Moshe and Aaron to call them Tilades, so therefore the message that's conveyed to us is that Hamalamid is Bechavere Teira Kiilu Yilade. Which of course then will answer another question. And the second question we ask is, why does it say B'yem Dibur Hashem Es Moshe? On the day that God spoke to Moshe. First of all, Moshe probably taught him Torah before also. He was a Torah teacher. So probably he taught Torah before God gave them Torah at Har Sinai. And secondly, why would that even be an issue? So Rashi says something very compelling. He says, in other words, Nasu Eila Teladishle B'yem Dibur Hashem Es Moshe. On the day that God spoke to Moshe, Nasu Eila Teladishle, that's when they became his offsprings. Why? Shalimdon Mashalom Adon Pi Agvura. Here, my dear friends, is a very powerful little pithy statement. What did he teach them? He didn't teach them life's lessons. He didn't teach them good ideas. He didn't teach them how to make a living. He didn't teach them a trade. What did he teach them? Torah. What is Torah? Mashalimdai, what he learned, Mipi Hagvura, from the mouth of Hashem, which is called the Might. In other words, we're not talking about an ordinary pursuit. Learning Torah, studying Torah, is not like studying anything else. And it certainly cannot be compared or likened to any other pursuit because it's a sacred pursuit. It's a holy pursuit. Why? Because the Torah is a piagvura. And when you're learning Torah, which is a piagvura, you're learning Torah, which is given from the mouth of the source of might. So then this has the ability, the might, if you will, to change reality as we know it. There's a famous narrative in the Gemara that the eldest disciple of Hillel, whose name was Rabbeinu Yonos ben Uzziel. He wrote a Targum on the Torah. It's not as popular as Unkelus's. But he wrote a Targum, and he was an extraordinary tzaddik. Not necessarily the greatest leader, because the youngest disciple ended up becoming a great leader. The youngest was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But he was the elder disciple. And this Rabbeinu Yonos ben Uzziel, it is said, when he would study Torah, there would be a fire created above him, to the point that once a bird made the mistake of flying above him, and he ended up getting barbecued. So they say the Chassid learns the story. He says, you hear about the Torah of Yonos ben Uzziel? Such a fire. You can barbecue a bird. And the Litvak says, is he obligated to pay for the damages? So this is the meaning then of the Torah's very unusual introduction of Teldes Moshe V'Aaron. And now we also understand why Rashi selects this method, because this answers both questions at the same time. This explains why it says Teldes Aaron u'Moshe, and it also explains why it says B'yem Dibur Hashem Es Moshe.
The Rashi could have used another denomination of Hashem instead of might.
Of course, he could have used another term for Hashem. That's the point. The might. Yes, it's the Torah in Piagvura means there's a power in Torah. The Torah is powerful. That when you share words of Torah, there's a power there. It has a powerful impact. That's the point that's being made. Now, Reb Sadia Gaon, in his interpretation of Torah, in his restatement, like his translation, he seems to indicate that when we say Toldos Aaron u'Moshe, it's not only speaking about the children of Aaron, but in fact it's telling you how all of the Jewish people related to Aaron and Moshe. That they were like avuncular figures, like a patriarchal figure. Everybody considered them to be like a father, which is generally speaking an approach that Yidden had to true tzaddikim. What was Baba Sali's name? What does Baba Sali mean? It means Abba Kadisha. It means Holy Father. A praying father.
Praying father.
Right? So in other words, this is idea. It's Arabic, right? Baba Sali?
Yeah.
So the idea of looking at tzaddikim like as a father figure, as a figure that was somebody who nourishes and who gave life and who gave guidance. So the Psadja says this is how the Yidden looked at Aaron and Moshe. Now the Abarbanel, who's a Pashtun very often, because takes things on a very, very literal level, he says it's not such a big question why he doesn't mention the children of Moshe, because the children of Moshe were very, very small at this time. How many years out of Mitzrayim are we? Is it the second year?
Yeah.
Okay. So when was Moshe's second son born? You know this.
Just before going into Mitzrayim.
Which is like
40 some years.
No, not 40 years before this.
Oh, no, excuse me. You're right. Like maybe a year.
Right? A year and a half before, right? Because it took about a half year for the Makos. So Moshe Rabbeinu's son was basically, at this point, 2.5 years old. He didn't yet have an upsharon. He still had like long hair. Okay? And how old was his oldest son? Doesn't, you know, maybe 2-3 years old. So he was 5 years old, 6 years old. Aaron's children were mature adults already. They were like tzaddikim in their own right. So it doesn't make sense, Bechlal, to talk about Moshe's children. Now, what the Abarbanel says, of course, is true, and it doesn't make sense to talk about Moshe's children, and nowhere in the Torah, other than their birth, are Moshe's children mentioned again. We talk about their birth, we saw how Moshe named them. We talk about the way Eliezer received the bris. That's a story. That's a narrative. The fact that they lived and what they did we is only discussed much in Divrei Hayamim. There's a reference to the progeny of Moshe. So the Pashtas, he said, because they were children. When the Jewish people started the journey, they were babies. There's nothing to talk about. But that doesn't answer the question, why would the Torah introduce Toldos Aaron u'Moshe? Zivel Toldos Aaron? It answers a different question. Why the Torah never discusses the children of Moshe in a very simple way? But it does not explain to us why it would say Toldos Aaron. Another interesting thing to share with you is something that the Ur HaChaim and the Kli Yakar both talk about. So in Tehillim it says, it indicates that Moshe Rabbeinu davened. It says, "Ubi Aaron nesanef Hashem lahashmidai." That Hashem was very, very angry. His anger flared against Aaron lahashmidai, to destroy him. And our sages tell us, what does it mean lahashmidai, to destroy him? This means hashmadas banim. That Hashem was very angry at Aaron because of the golden calf, and there was a gezeirah, a decree that he would not have children at all, not have progeny. So Moshe Rabbeinu was intuitively aware of this. And Moshe Rabbeinu prayed very intensely, and his prayers were answered halfway. He was able to spare Elazar and Yisamar, but he was not able to spare Nadav and Avihu. Why? Because Nadav and Avihu colored outside the lines too much. They did their own thing. So once you do your own thing, and they weren't maybe, this is my interpretation, could be wrong, but they weren't proper chassidim, they weren't buttle enough to Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu's prayer didn't help for them. So what's the point? The point then, says the Ur HaChaim and the Kli Yakar both, is that without Moshe Rabbeinu's prayers, where would Elazar and Yisamar be? With Nadav and Avihu. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the fact that they're alive is by dint of the fact that Moshe prayed. In other words, thanks to Moshe. So in some way, because Moshe Rabbeinu saved their life, it becomes like they're Moshe's children. But the problem with that is, it doesn't really satisfactorily answer B'yoyim Dibir Hashem El Esmeisha Bar Sinai. That's not connected to Shavuot. It's not connected to giving it a Torah. Right? So Rashi's answer is really the most straightforward answer that takes care of both questions. Why does it say, Toldos Aaron u'Moshe, We're only talking about toldos Aharon. And the second question is, why does it say B'yom Dibur Hashem es Moshe? Because this is what indicates the power, the potency of Torah to make a massive change within the heart, mind, soul of a person. Yes?
Makes more sense?
Yeah. Okay. So now we're going to take a look and see how the Rebbe analyzes and teaches us this psukim. We're going to learn two entries today. Page Chaf Gimel. Should be easy enough to find. Tzarech Bir. The Rebbe says the words of Rashi, it would seem, require elucidation. Why? Because from the perspective of what Rashi teaches us, that the Mashmos HaBitur, that the intimation of the words, B'yom Dibur Hashem, es Moshe, and it was the day that God spoke to Moses at Mount Sinai. In other words, the day of Matan Torah. He shehechel meyom zeh. That's what began from this day. That hischo Moshe l'lamed es b'nei Aharon. That Moshe Rabbeinu began to teach the children of Aaron Torah. V'lachein, because he taught them Torah. That's why Nikroim, that's why they're referred to as Tol Doisov, as his offspring. Hayahakosav tzarech leimer l'cheira. The pasuk then should have said, miyoyim, from the day, from that day and onward, they became considered Moshe Rabbeinu's children. Because from that day, when the Torah was given, from that day, when Moshe Rabbeinu received that incredible potency, and then went on to share it, so they became his toldos, they became his children. But madua nemar, why then does it say, biyoyim, not miyoyim, in the day? It's not in the day, it's from that day and onward. You understand what I'm saying? This was an event that began at Matan Torah. And what's the proof? Rashi finishes off by saying, Melamed, this teaches us, Shekol ha-melamed, that anybody who teaches is ben chavedi, somebody else's children, Torah, ki'ilu, yilodei, as if you give birth. Where did that come from? That comes from miyoyim, from the day that Hashem gave the Torah. But over here it says, biyoyim, in the day, as if it was the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu taught on that day, and that day alone, that makes all the difference. But that's not what we're talking about. It would seem it's miyoyim, from this day and onward. It's now Rashi saying that this is the day that the Torah was given, and it was Piagvura, the power of Torah, and the potency of Torah, and the profound effect of Torah is fully energized, and I understand all that. But it should be from this day onward, not on this day, which in Hebrew is meyom, with a mem, meyom diber, not beis, not biyom diber, not in the day, but from the day. Because biyom indicates that something happened on that day. Biyom, on this day something happened. I mean, it's not, the Torah was given on this day, but the idea of kilu yuladoi, that he gave birth to them, that they're called his children, it would seem is an ongoing process. So here's how the Rebbe explained it, the Hezbir Lekach. Kishem shaleidosi hagashmi shaladam, just like the material, the physical birth of a person, eini yechayla lehisrache shalapam achas bovad, you actually can't be born again. That makes no sense. How could you be born again? You can be born once. So kach leidase haruchni shaladam misrachash pam achas bovad. So too, just like physically you can't be born twice, spiritually you can't be born twice either. Birth is a certain event, the event of birth. You may commemorate the event of your birth every year. That's fine. That's called a birthday, the anniversary of your arrival on planet Earth. But the idea, the notion that you could be born and then born and then born makes no sense. Should I be born once? Kasher melamdeh makes it teira l'rishayna, means the first time a person studies Torah, the full intensity of Torah, then it becomes like a moment of birth. Ve'ilu ha-teira shehu leimed la'achar mekein, the Torah that he learns afterwards, einin nechashavas l'leiden esef, it's not every day he's born again. You know, it's interesting that there was Hasidim who used to consider the day of their spiritual birthday, the first day they came to the Rebbe. First day they came to Lubavitch, that was their spiritual birthday. And there's a famous Chassid, his name was, his name eludes me now. The Friedrich Kibbe's teacher. I remember his name in a second. Anyway, it's a whole story of how he came. He was from a very non-Hasidic family. And he was an orphan, and his stepfather was very mean to him, and he started learning Chassidus. Agansa Maisa, and he would send to an older Chassid who mentored him, and they prepared him to go to Lubavitch. And anyway, he entered the Tzemach Tzedek's room at like dawn on a Friday morning. And from that day and onward, He used to remain all night studying Torah, remain awake, and he would take pains to put on tefillin at exactly the moment when he entered the Tzemach Tzedek Shulam the first time. In other words, for him, he considered that to be like a birth moment. So there's this idea of a moment, something, the moment something happened. So this is the notion of Biyayim. Biyayim tells us that there's a Leda, a birth, and something that changed the first time Moshe Rabbeinu taught Aaron's sons Torah. When did Moshe Rabbeinu first teach Aaron's sons Torah? Biyayim, on the day of Dibur Hashem es Moshe, on the day that he spoke to him. So Biyayim Matan Torah Atzmei Nechasheves Kileda, that was considered like a birth. From that moment and onward, the children of Aaron were seen as the progeny of Moshe. The subsequent learning, it's not considered birth. You're born, then you grow. You keep growing. As long as you're alive, you grow. That's the nature of life, is dynamic, is constant growth. But you're not born again. Born again once. Somebody who teaches his friend's son, his friend's child. Elate says, doesn't say kolam alamid es chaveri, somebody who teaches his companion's child. Rashi is teaching us shaklal maila olav akosov, that this rule, that the scripture considers it ki ilu yolade, as if you would have given birth to him. Misyaches beiker, that applies primarily lefi shemalamed es ben chaveri. In other words, yeled hanimtza betchilas darkei. The beauty is the person who taught you first. Belimud ha-Torah. Leimi shalomad leimed adam mevugar shekvar lomad Torah ba'avar. A person learns a lot of Torah, and at some point he meets a new teacher, learns more Torah. But the process has already begun. The Rebbe used to say about his melamed, et me'aveg yishtalt avdefis. It was a chassid, and he was a... I don't know if he's the biggest genius, I don't know if he's the biggest Talmud Chacham. He was a fine chassid, a fine Talmud Chacham. And the Rebbe said, at me'aveg yishtalt avdefis, he put me on my feet, he was his first teacher. The Rebbe used to stand up for him. This chassid was very uncomfortable. He'd come into the Rebbe, the Rebbe would stand up. He used to try to always be there before. He was extremely, extremely take pains not to be noticed. But the Rebbe always treated him like that. Why? Because he was the first teacher. So the issue here is really the first teacher, vegeshtelt, as they say in Yiddish, of the feast. Who put you up on your feet? And that's when Moshe Rabbeinu put Aaron's children on their feet, taught them Torah. That's a position and that's a moment that remains forever. That's the Biyayim Dibur Hashem. Your first teacher, your primary teacher, the one that got you going. And getting going on a spiritual journey is like birth in and of itself. And now we're going to learn a second entry quickly, because this is really beautiful. The Rebbe says, why do we say it's like being born again? It sounds so un-Jewish, no? But really, really it comes from us. But we have to explain the deeper meaning of whoever learns within Teda. It's my lola vakasa. The scripture considers a kili yulade. The Rebbe says, here is an explanation of pipnimis and yonim based on the inner rhythm of Teda. Hatoida himakur chayav shakol adam Yisrael. The Torah is the source of life for every single member of Am Yisrael. As we say in our davening, ki heim chayenu. For they, what is they? The Torah. Chayenu is our life. Yehudi ha-peirish melimud ha-Torah, a Jew who separates from study of Torah, as in the famous narrative of Rabbi Akiva, as is told in the Gemara in Brachas Nevei Dezora, is like nechashev, is considered kedog ha-peirish min hayam, like a fish who separates from the sea. Right? You all know the story of Rabbi Akiva with Pappas. He said, I can't study Torah. If you study it, it's illegal. To which Rabbi Akiva responded, if we don't study Torah, we aren't. Here, I might get caught. Don't study Torah, I'm not. It's finished. No Torah, no Yiddishkeit. It's as if he loses the privilege of life itself. Chazal, like the very sharp words of our sages, which are found in Mesechus Sanhedrin, that it says that somebody who violates the Torah, who abrogates study of Torah, doesn't bring Torah study into his life. It says, Dvar Hashem Boza, he has shamed, scorned the word of God. He cut us to cut us. By dint of that alone, he can be cut off from his source of life. Scary stuff. Umikan, from here we see, Shekashat Odom Loimet Torah. When a person does study Torah, what does he do? He saves his life, so to speak. That's his lifeline. The Torah is the lifeline. It's plugging in. It's plugging in. You know, they have the car needs constant a new infusion of gas. What happens? It doesn't have any gas. Runs out. And if you have a Telsa, one of those plug-in cars, Tesla, whatever it's called, you got to keep plugging in. Whatever you don't plug in, you're finished. You can't drive anymore. This is what it is for a yid. A yid learns study, plugs in. And by virtue of the Baal Shem Tov's teaching, that God is constantly recreating the whole universe every moment. It's not just something that prevents us from lack of life. It's a positive thing. It's a plug-in. The chol regesh Yehudi loymet Torah. Whenever he's learning Torah, what does he cause? Goydem hu laKadosh Baruch Hu kaviyachol. It's as if he causes on God's behalf. Lahanik lo yischayev mechadesh. As if he is being born again. Actually, so it's a contrasting teaching. On one hand, you could only be born once. On the other hand, there's a new infusion of strength, like a birth, a new infusion, a constant new infusion. You plug in new kechas, new strength, a fresh energizer. And you learn with somebody else, you teach somebody else's child, as if you gave birth to him, meaning because when you learn with somebody else, what are you causing? Now what happens to the learner? What happens to the student? He gets more life. Ha, says the Rebbe. So let's think about this. If learning Torah brings you more life, that means like a person's feeling lifeless, feeling like a low ebb. And then all of a sudden you get a new infusion of life. You're alive again. 1 second. Where does this infusion of life come from? It comes from Torah. And because it comes from Torah, when you cause somebody else to get that new infusion of life, we say, ki'ilu noilad za'ata. It's as if, in some ways, as if you are being born again now. A new infusion of strength, a new infusion of keches. And every time a yid feels down, what do you have to do? Sit down and learn Torah. And it pumps you back up again. And every time we learn Torah, we find new vitality, new energy, new life, as if we're born all over again. And that's born again Torah style.